Next time? There won't be any next time, Winstead declared. Not on this planet, no. Knowing what to expect, you fellows can handle anything that comes up. I was thinking then of my next step. Oh, but you'll get him, Grey Lensman.
I hope so, he said, soberly.
Lock, Kinnison. Clear ether, Winstead. And this time the Tellurian really did flit. As his speedster ripped through the void, Kinnison did more thinking. But he was afraid that Mentor would have considered the product muddy indeed. He couldn't seem to get to the first check station. One thing was limpidly clear. This line of attack, or any very close variation of it, would never work again. He'd have to think up something new. So far, he had got away with his stuff because he had kept one lap ahead of them. But how much longer could he manage to keep up the pace? Bollinger was no mental giant, of course. But this other lad was nobody's fool, and this next higher-up, with whom he had had the interview via Bollinger, would certainly prove to be a really shrewd number. The higher, the fewer, he repeated to himself the old saying, adding, and in this case, the smarter. He had to put out some jets, but where he was going to get the fuel he simply didn't know. Again, the trip to Tellus was uneventful, and the Grey Lensman, the symbol of his rank again flashing upon his wrist, sought interview with Haines. "Send him in, certainly, send him in!" Kinnison heard the communicator crackle, and the receptionist passed him along. He paused in surprise, however, at the doorway of the office, for Surgeon Marshal Lacey and a Pocinian were in conference with the Port Admiral. "Come in, Kinnison," Haines invited. "Lacey wants to see you a minute, too. Dr. Phillips, Lensman Kinnison, unattached. His name isn't Phillips, of course. We gave him that in self-defense to keep from trying to pronounce his real one." Phillips, the Pocinian, was as tall as Kinnison and heavier. His figure was somewhat human in shape, but not in detail. He had four arms instead of two, each arm had two opposed hands, and each hand had two thumbs, one situated about where a little finger would be expected. He had no eyes, not even vestigial ones. He had two broad, flat noses and two toothful mouths, one of each in what would ordinarily be called the front of his round, shining, hairless head, the other in the back. Upon the sides of his head were large, volute, highly dirigible ears, and like most races having the faculty of perception instead of that of sight, his head was relatively immobile, his neck being short, massive, and tremendously strong.